I want to have a talk with Godfrey Bloom in a moment, former UKIP, of course, economist. I want to talk about a budget, what he makes of it, and also the betrayal of the United Kingdom with what's happening with the Brexit fiasco. Let's do that now, shall we? Let's introduce him. He always goes down well. It's Godders. It's Godfrey Bloom. Hiya, Godfrey.
Hi, Dubois. Hi.
Hi. Let's start with the EU, shall we? What is going on? Why are we now even contemplating giving them 40 quid, let alone 40 billion?
Well, we've got a problem here. And the trouble is we have a rather incompetent administration at the moment who don't seem to know how to deal with what really is a perfectly straightforward business deal. We are leaving if the European Union feels that we owe them money, they must itemise exactly what they think we owe them.
Yeah.
We need to get an independent accountancy in, forensic accountants, and work out exactly what they owe us. So we own a lot of real estate over there. We own part of the building at Strasbourg, the parliamentary building, quite a big slab of that. There's other bits of real estate, and of course there's investment in the European Investment Bank. So they owe us money. We've got to find out exactly what they think we owe us. If you were given, if you just had a nice lunch or a nice evening meal or whatever it was, you would expect an itemised bill at the end of it to pay your bill.
Yeah.
And all I would like to see is an itemised bill. What actually happened to the administration? They went yesterday, the day before yesterday, they went from 20 billion to 40 billion overnight. I mean, were they get on the gin and tonics and the back of a fag packet? I mean, it makes you wonder how they come to these figures, doesn't it? And nobody, and I was on radio yesterday with Lord Heseltine, who was, you know, as usual, waving his arms about and talking about 50 billion or whatever, and he didn't know. And the long and short of it is, I want an itemised bill. And I would also like the British people, the taxpayers, who are going to have to pick up this bill, to see exactly what and how this money is. Where is it? What is required? Line by line. And I'd like to see a double pull-out of the newspapers, you know, a double pull-out of the Sunday papers.
So why aren't our negotiators asking for that, Godfrey? That's the bit I don't understand.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And if you go into any Yorkshire pub, and I was on the train coming back from London, having done the Jeremy Vine show, and I was actually sort of given a cheer on the Yorkshire train home. Ordinary Yorkshire working folk on the way back saying, this, every pub and club in the land are saying, why don't they give us an itemised bill? Why is there all this guesswork? What do we owe, if indeed we owe anything at all? And an answer comes there none. And of course, you get a rather inane grin from David Davis when he was pressed by your previous guest. No, not your previous guest. It was Rees-Mogg, not James Denningpaw, who's an old mate. So I get them mixed up a bit. Rees-Mogg put him on the spot and just said, how much? What are you going to pay? And why would we pay anything for goodwill, given that we are the major customer? The goodwill is on their side. So none of us understand. I can't. And I watched sort of body language very closely with David Davis when he's sitting in front of these parliamentary committees. And I've got a slight feeling, and he is a neighbour, and he's a bit of a chum, he's my own MP, that he doesn't really quite know what he's doing. And this makes me deeply uncomfortable.
Do you think he's being undermined by Theresa May and some people in the cabinet as well?
I'm almost certain that that's the case. Doris was campaigned heavily for Remain. Amber Rudd campaigned for Remain.
Yeah.
The political class are in favour of Remain. And so consequently, their heart is in it. And what I feel they're saying to the EU negotiators and the civil service in particular, who are Remainers to a man, are saying, look, we're stuck with this. They voted leave. We didn't think they will. So we've got to somehow dress this up like we are leaving, but we're not really leaving, are we? You know that. We know that. We're not really leaving. Let's just dress it up. And that's what I don't believe this Brexit means Brexit. And this morning on Question Time, Prime Minister's Question Time, Doris was telling us all that she definitely meant it. We're definitely going. It's a bit like, you know, when they advertise cars, isn't it? You know, when they say it's the really all-new Volvo,
yeah.
You know full well it's not new, it's an old one with a different colour paint. That's what they really mean. Brexit means Brexit. I start counting the spoons.
OK. What do you make of the budget today? And was there really any point in it?
Well, no, not really, because Hammond doesn't understand money. You see, this is the great problem that Hammond has, like so many chancellors before him. He has a disadvantage of not understanding money. Now, he was actually boasting that the budget deficit, which has averaged £60 billion in this Conservative, over the last 7 years with a Conservative administration, it's doubled the national debt. So the national debt's going like topsy. The deficit is out of control. But he was boasting he'd got it down to something like 30 billion. Imagine any of your listeners, Gaunty, going into their bank manager saying, look, I know we've been spending more money than we've earned for the last 30 odd years, but I'm really pleased this year because we're not doing it quite so much. the guy doesn't really understand the deficit. And I don't think any of his cabinet do. And, of course, then he said he's really going to work at getting the deficit down and he's going to start reducing the national debt. And he talked a very good story and then went on for the next 40 minutes squandering money like a drunken sailor on shore leave.
What about the opposition? I mean, John McDonnell's been all over the media this afternoon as well. Do they have any alternative? Because so many people are saying to me, whether it's about this or whether it's about Brexit, but yeah, John, if it ends up in a general election, who do I vote for? What do I do?
So it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't vote at the last election. I didn't vote. So here I am, an ordinary Middle England tax-paying dude, and I didn't vote because I looked at them and I just couldn't, in all conscience, vote for any of them. And we've got really, I mean, basically we have a socialist government now, and all that Corbyn is offering is a more socialist government. I mean, Hammond is spending money on steelworks. He's spending money on electric cars, driverless cars. This isn't the business of government. To invest taxpayers' money in these harebrained schemes. Do you remember DeLorean? Any of your listeners might remember DeLorean.
Yes,
When the government gets involved in building cars, you know it's going to end in tears, and this is going to be no exception. He's talking about half a billion. If the market wanted electric cars, and the market would provide. The market will provide it. We don't need government money. And when it comes to housing, the housing crisis he talks about, well, we do have a housing problem, but that's twofold. One of the reasons is quantitative easing. They've printed £350 billion since 2007. It's all gone into assets, and it's inflated asset prices. And, of course, one of the main assets has houses and real estate. So it's shot them through the roof. You don't have inflation on the high street, you know, with your TV and your flat screens and your telephones. What you have is inflation, heavy inflation in assets. And so their own monetary policy has inflated assets beyond the price of ordinary people. And, of course, on top of that, we're also having over 250,000 people coming to this country every year. And we have the most crowded piece of real estate. England is something like 450 people, I think it is, per square kilometre or whatever it is. That's nine times America. We are the most crowded, I think maybe with the exception of Holland, we're certainly the most crowded piece of real estate on the face of the planet. And the southeast of England is probably the most crowded part of the planet. So we have the problem is we just have too many people in the country, many people coming into the country. So all of this, again, it's all the government. The reason that young people can't afford a house is the government's own making. It's the government's own creation. And now they're underwriting they're underwriting. They've got rid of stamp duty, which they should never have put on to start with. But they're now government is underwriting deposits in the same way that you might underwrite a teenage daughter for their credit card or something like that. So that all goes on to the national debt. I don't think Hammond fully understands that when he did that, that goes on to the national debt. That has to go in the books as debt. It's a debt liability. But you see, he doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand that. You know, I wouldn't let him run the village hall accounts.
Thank you, Godfrey. Godfrey.